Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is actually a new podcast series I'm beginning, but it's still going to be forwarded into the divineinterventionpodcast.com website. And today's podcast topic is called a Motivation Monday. And our topic today is going to be how to make the most of your four-week dedicated period for the USMLE Step 2 CK exam. So I know the USMLE Step 2 CK exam is now the exam that has essentially become the crown prince of the USMLEs. We all know that starting in January of next year, step one is going to become a pass-fail. So Step 2 CK scores really matter a lot. Even with this coming cycle, where ERAS applications programs can start downloading them on the 29th of September, your Step 2 CK score matters a lot. You know, can you apply right now without a Step 2 CK score? Absolutely, especially if you did well on Step 1, right? But definitely, I'll say from next year, especially from like next cycle, if you're applying without a Step 2 CK score and you're just applying with a pass on Step 1, you're kind of putting yourself in a tough situation, right? So I just wanted to make this podcast to really highlight how to make the most out of your four-week dedicated period. So, you know, roughly 29 days. If you have roughly 29 days to study for your exam, this is a great plan. And this is very practical. If you listen to this and do what it says, you vastly increase your chances of success on the USMLE Step 2 CK exam. So let's just jump right into it, right? So the first question is, why is this 4 weeks? I'll say again, roughly 29 days. Well, why is that? The thing is, the amount of material that is tested on the Step 2 CK exam has increased significantly over the last 6 to 12 months. So you do need an appropriate amount of time. That thing that people say about 2 weeks to study for Step 2 CK, as time goes on, is applying less and less to people. Most times, the people you see that are able to knock out studying for Step 2 CK in like 2 weeks are people that have studied extremely well for Step 1, did really well on Step 1, and then just crushed all their shelf exams, were like getting like a 90s or higher average on their shelf exams. But the thing is, even in those circumstances, it still makes sense to give yourself about 4 weeks or thereabouts to study for Step 2 CK. So the next question I'm going to answer here is, what do you need for this four-week dedicated period? Because literally, I want to lay out a blueprint for you that you can follow precept by precept, word by word, line by line. What do you need? The thing is, many people use too much in studying for this exam. Many people use way too much. You see them using like 10 different resources. You don't have to be that person. All you really need to study for Step 2 CK is UWorld, content review, practice MBME sets. So the MBMEs now have MBME 9, 10, and 11, the free 120, and the UWorld self-assessments, UWorld self-assessment 1 and 2. That's it. That's all you need. That's all you need. You don't need 500 different things to excel on the exam. And I'm going to address all these things. Now, what's the third thing I want to talk about here? What is your game plan for timing, right, for your dedicated period? Because it's very important to be very strategic whenever you want to achieve anything great in life. So what should you keep in mind with timing as you're studying every day? Here's one thing I would suggest. I would say that you should plan on studying for about 12 hours on a regular basis. About 12 hours on a regular basis. And you should divide those 12 hours as such. 10 hours should be for high intensity studying. If you study for 10 hours high intensity, that will actually prepare you for the reality of your exam day. 2 hours should be low intensity. Now, for the 10-hour intensity, high-intensity period, how are you supposed to break up your time and take breaks during the day? Here's what I will encourage you to do. I will encourage you to study for 2 hours straight and then take a 10-minute break. Then study for another 2 hours straight, then take a 20-minute break after that. At this time, you study for 4 hours. Then after that, study for an hour, take a 10-minute break. After that, study for another hour, take a 10-minute break. That's hour 6. After that, study for another hour, take a 10-minute break. That's hour 7. After that, study for another hour, take a 10-minute break. That's hour 8. After that, study for another hour, take a 10-minute break. That's hour 9. And then you study for your last hour, and you're done. So basically, 2 hours straight, 10-minute break. 2 hours straight, 20-minute break. And then for an hour and take a 10-minute break after each hour. Basically, on the back half of your 10 hours of high intensity, you're taking more frequent breaks since your brain is getting more tired. So really, for this high intensity 10 hours, your total break time is an hour and 20 minutes. The thing is, the reason that I portion things out like this is that it prepares you for the reality of step 2 CK. We know that step 2 CK is 8 blocks. And if you don't listen to the ad at the beginning, or the thing they give you, like the spiel they give you at the beginning of the test, you can pretty much get an hour of break time. So your break time for step 2 CK, it just makes sense to take it like so, right? So like, you take your first 2 blocks and you take a 10-minute break afterwards. You take your next 2 blocks and you take a 20-minute break afterwards. You're essentially halfway through the exam. So you've used up 30 minutes of your break time. And then you come back, you do block 5, you take a 10-minute break afterwards. Block 6, take a 10-minute break afterwards. Block 7, take a 10-minute break afterwards. Then you come back, take block 8, and you go home and rejoice, right? So you essentially have taken your 60 minutes. But if you notice, again, the second half of your exam, you're taking more frequent breaks. So that's why this 10-hour high-intensity period, I designed it with the associated break times like this. If you follow that, then your brain, because the thing is, I'm telling you, the brain thrives on familiarity. If you make your brain familiar with these break times and with these focus times, you'll just get better at focusing for that length of time. And notice, you're focusing quite intensely for 10 hours, right? For 10 hours. Your total exam time, including break time, is 9 hours. So you're going above that. If you make this a daily commitment, then your test day will not feel terrible to you. Again, I'm telling you this as someone that thankfully has succeeded on these exams, and also have worked with tons of people. I've worked with thousands of people, right, that have also succeeded on these exams. So follow this advice and you'll be set well on your way to doing really well, right? And one thing I will say about this high intensity period before I go into my next question is, wear a mask, right? Obviously, this is not going to apply when mask mandates are over and when coronavirus has died its death, which I'm praying for every day. But basically, or which I pray for, I don't know if I'll say every day, but which I pray for. But one thing I'll say is, wear a mask. You don't want the first time you're wearing a mask while you're under like the pressure of an exam to be on your exam day. No, you want to be able to wear a mask and deal with your mask fogging up, with your eyeglasses fogging up and things. You just want to, basically, you want as much as possible for every study day to replicate what things will feel like on your exam. I remember when I was taking the MCAT, back in the day, it was 3.5 hours or 3 hours and 45 minutes, if I'm remembering correctly. And the weekend before my exam, before I took the final practice test, I remember back in the day was AMC 11. I woke up that morning, like the day before, I packed lunch, packed everything I needed, right? In the morning, I woke up, I drove to my testing center, saw the testing center, came back, took AMC 11 at home under testing conditions, right? And just being familiar, my brain kind of getting in that routine really helped me on test day. And, you know, thankfully, I did well on my MCAT. So again, you just want to try to model as much as possible what you're going to see on exam day. If you can model it as much as possible, you're very likely to succeed. At least you're setting yourself up. You're increasing your probabilities of success. Now, so what's your game plan then in terms of what you should be doing during that 10 hours, right? That's the next question I want to answer. Well, the first 2 hours of your day should be for content review, right? You should be using this first 2 hours as your ongoing thorough review of content for the exam. Basically, you want to use this first 2 hours of the day to keep making passes through the information so that you know that you've covered your basis in internal medicine, in peds, in surgery, in OB-GYN, in psych, in biostats, in ethics, things like that. And I'll tell you what to do later in this podcast. Now, what do you do with the next 8 hours, right, of the 10 hours of your high-intensity period? Spend that 8 hours on questions, right? Spend those 8 hours on your UWorld questions. So you take an hour to take a block, right? So basically, you're planning on doing like 4 blocks of questions, because UWorld is about 3,800 questions these days for step 2 CK, right? So you spend an hour taking a block, and then you spend an hour reviewing that block. So if you're taking 4 blocks, you take it timed, right? You spend an hour per block. Take an hour to review that block. That's going to be 8 hours total, right? Do an hour of taking tests, an hour of review. An hour of taking tests, an hour of review. An hour of taking tests, an hour of review. And you may be like, wow, Divine, how can I spend an hour reviewing a UWorld block? I will make a podcast on this next week, Monday, by God's grace. It will literally be a podcast on how to review UWorld questions efficiently. So we'll talk about that next Monday in the next Motivation Monday series. Now, the next question I want to answer here then is, what should you do during your 2 hours of medium intensity studying, right? So we talked about 10 hours of high intensity. We said for that 2 hours of content review, 8 hours of questions, UWorld questions. What should you do during your 2 hours of medium intensity? The thing you should do during your 2 hours of medium intensity is to work on targeted weaknesses. So these targeted weaknesses will be revealed to you by persistent areas where you have weaknesses. It'll be revealed to you by persistent areas. So as you take practice exams, as you do your UWorld questions, you see that, wow, there are special areas that I seem to be weak on. You can work on these during your 2 hours of medium intensity studying, right? So during your 10 hours of high intensity, you're spending 2 hours on content review, just general content review to keep your bases covered for all the disciplines. But then the 2 hours of medium intensity is to work specifically on weaknesses. Obviously, those weaknesses, you should try to bring them down as you go through your dedicated period and eliminate as much as possible by the time your exam rolls along. Now, the sixth point I want to discuss here is, what should you do for the first 2 hours of your content review during the day? What should you do during that period? Well, let me tell you what you should do for weeks 1 and 2, and then I'll tell you what you should do for weeks 3 and 4. So for weeks 1 and 2, I will highly recommend. Again, worked with many people that have done something similar and I've done extremely well, right? As you know, I do one-on-one tutoring for the USML exams. Start off with my shelf review videos and the accompanying slides. For internal medicine, right? The shelf review videos are episodes 29 to 32. For pediatrics, it's episode 21. For surgery, it's episode 24. For OB-GYN, it's episode 22. For psychiatry, it's episode 23. For biostatistics, it's episode 143. For vaccines, it's episode 250. For screening guidelines, it's episode 325. For immunodeficiency diseases, it's episode 173. For risk factors, it's episode 37, 97, and 184. And then for social sciences, it's episode 132. Those first 2 hours you have every morning, I would strongly encourage you, use them to go through these things. For weeks 1 and 2, make a slow, solid pass through all these things. It will help you build up a core base of knowledge. And then in weeks 3 and 4, review the materials from weeks 1 and 2 once in week 3 and once in week 4. This will give you a total of 3 passes, right? Because the first pass was weeks 1 and 2. Second pass was in week 3. Third pass was in week 4. Now, an alternative to these 3 passes is material from my review course. I will talk about my review course later because I know that that's something people often have quite a number of questions about. Now, the seventh point I want to address is, for questions, how are you supposed to handle your questions? Well, remember, for questions, you're going to do them timed in groups of 40. Now, the thing is, for the first 2 weeks of your dedicated period, do your questions by subject. Don't do them random. Now, for weeks 3 and 4, you can then start doing random questions. The thing is, you may be like, Divine, why are you propounding this method? The thing is, in your first 2 weeks, you're trying to build your base of knowledge. When you're trying to build a house, you are not disorganized in building a home, right? You're not disorganized in building a home. When you're trying to build that basic structure of a home, like lay the foundation or whatever, you want to be as organized as possible. So, those first 2 weeks, you're trying to build your base of knowledge. You want to be organized, right? So, doing random questions when you start is not very efficient. It's not very disorganized. I mean, it's very disorganized. You'll get a lot less from the questions. And guess what? That's not the most efficient use of your time. The thing is, weeks 3 and 4, where you've at least accumulated a base of knowledge, you can then start doing questions random to make integrations. But that foundation has to be built first. starting off with random questions does not build a solid foundation for you. I'm telling you this, it does not build a solid foundation for you. Because the thing is, during your first 2 weeks, you want each study day to have a focus. So let's say you're like, wow, okay, in the morning, I just reviewed Divine's OB-GYN slides and I watched this video. And again, I will encourage you to watch the videos to get the understanding. Don't just read notes or read slides. You will get a lot less from that, going about things that way. In the afternoon, if you do like 160 OB-GYN questions, it will really ram in those points that you've acquired from the morning, right? So you have a focus. At least you've had like a day where you really worked on OB-GYN, a day or two where you really worked on psych, you know, like 2-3 days where you really worked on internal medicine, right? When your study days have focus, you're likely to going to get a lot more from your study days. And again, if you're doing about 160 questions every day, you should be able to finish your world in about 23 to 24 days. Now, the next question I want to answer is, what do you do during your medium intensity 2 hours? What are some ideas for things you can do during that period? Well, one is you can do my rapid review series, right? I have a rapid review series for the Step 2 CK exam, which also applies to Step 3. It starts from episode 1, and I believe it's up to episode 65 right now, right? These things are entirely vignettes. Most of them are pretty short. They're like 20, 30 minutes long, right? They're all short. They're entirely vignettes. Hit those hard, right? The thing is, if you listen to about 2 of those every day, you'll complete close to 90% or more of the series by the time your dedicated period is over, right? So that's one idea for what you do in that medium intensity 2 hours. Second recommendation I have for that medium intensity 2 hours is hitting up special topics, right? So the thing is, if you go on my website, there's this header that says, so the website is divineinterventionpodcast.com. Go on exam top, click on exam topics list. Then it will take you to a Google spreadsheet. Then click on Step 2 CK and Step 2 CK slash Step 3 at the bottom. And it will take you to this spreadsheet where I break down all my podcasts for Step 2 CK, Step 3 by topic, right? You'll go to a section that says special topics. Those special topics, they just hit on key areas that I know tend to be weaknesses for people, right? So say, for example, I have podcasts on ACLS, podcasts on pressors, podcasts on the military, podcasts on electrolytes, podcasts on nephrotic syndromes, right? And by the way, you should definitely listen to the military podcasts. You should definitely listen to my risk factors podcasts. Those are very, very high yield ones to know, right? Now, the third suggestion I have for what to do during your medium intensity 2 hours at the November 2020 changes podcasts, right? So we know that the MBMEs in November of 2020, they started writing questions that address like big time ethics, professionalism, communications, healthcare systems, quality and safety, right? Hospice, medication errors, errors in healthcare. I've made podcasts that cover those things. So I'll encourage you, check out those podcasts. Again, there's literally a section. If you go under that Step 2 CK, Step 3 tab on the exam topics list Google spreadsheet that lists all those podcasts, tells you the episode numbers, right? So just literally go on my website, and then in the search box, if you see that, oh, okay, episode 276 on this, just type in episode 276 on that topic, and it will take you straight to that topic. You click on it, and it will take you to the audio podcast. And if there is a slide associated with it, it will be hyperlinked under the podcast episode. Again, to find these things, again, go to divineinterventionpodcast.com, click on exam topics list, click on the Step 2 CK Step 3 tab, look at the directory. It will tell you all the podcasts I have for Step 2 CK Step 3, broken down by subject. There's a special topic section, there's a November 2020 changes section, right? And anytime I make a new podcast, I always update that spreadsheet, right? So it's constantly updated. Now, the ninth point I want to address is, what are some other resources you can tackle if you have a more extensive dedicated period? Because it's not everyone that obviously uses like 29 days to study for the exam. So what are some other resources you can use? But again, these are optional, right? If you have a longer dedicated period, I will say that these are very strong things to really, really consider attacking, right? Another QBank you can consider is AMBOSS. AMBOSS is an excellent QBank, right? With good explanations. Another thing you can also consider are other MBME questions, right? What am I referring to by these other MBME questions? These other MBME questions are the Clinical Mastery Series exams. To be honest with you, when I was studying for Step 2 CK back in the day, even if I had done all of them during my third year, I redid all of them during my dedicated period for Step 2, right? So they're called the clinical mastery series exams. I would encourage you to do the 4 for pediatrics, do the 4 for surgery, do the 4 for OB/GYN, do the 4 for internal medicine, do the 4 for neurology, do the 3 for psychiatry, and do the 2 for family medicine. And I think I've mentioned to do the 4 for neurology. If you add up all these numbers, this is like 4, 8, 12, 16, 19, 23, 25. Those are 25 exams. Do not do the ones for emergency medicine. I'll tell you specifically, do not do the ones for emergency medicine. Those emergency medicine ones don't necessarily reflect the classic MBME Step 2 CK styling. They almost have like a different feel to them compared to all the MBME practice exams, right? So don't do the emergency medicine ones, but all the other ones for all the other disciplines, I would absolutely recommend that you do those. Now, the 10th point I want to address is, how do you take your practice tests? Well, remember, your practice tests are going to be basically spread over 5 days. All those practice tests that I mentioned, right? So the thing is, on these days, right? So if you're doing your world the way I say to do it, you should be done within about 24 days. Now, these practice tests, they're going to be spread over 5 days. So that's a total of 29 days, right? So the thing is, on these practice test days, don't do the other parts of the plan. Just take these tests and review them. That's what you should do on those days, right? So MBME 9 should be the first practice exam you take. Take it in week 1. MBME 9 tends to be an under-predictor for many people. In week 2, which is your second week, take MBME 10. MBME 10, again, also generally tends to be an under-predictor for many people, although it's a better predictor of scores than MBME 9. Now, in week 3, you're beginning to go into the predictor exams. In week 3, I will encourage you, take your world self-assessment number 1. I will encourage you to take your world self-assessment number 1 in week 3. And then in week 4, at the beginning of week 4, I will encourage you to take MBME 11 and the free 120. MBME 11 is 200 questions. The free 120 is 120 questions. That's 320 questions. That gives you the exact number of questions that will show up on your exam. Take MBME 11 first and then take the free 120 afterwards, right? And I will strongly encourage you, try to take your breaks as I lead out in the early part of this podcast. Now, after that, at the back end of week 4, at the end of week 4, just before your exam, take your world self-assessment number 2. Your world self-assessment number 2 is the best predictor in general of scores for the exam, right? So UWorld 1, MBME 11, and UWorld 2, these are the best predictors of people's scores in general, in my experience, for the exam. Now, the 11th point I want to address here is my review course, right? Again, many people ask me questions about these things, like, oh, Divine, what are your review courses? What do they entail? So the thing is, my review courses, they are two separate courses that target two key areas of the exam. So the first one is how to take the test. The thing is, to do well on the MBME exams, you cannot just be good at content. You also need to be an excellent test taker. The MBME has a very standardized series of traps that they lay out for people in questions. They have a very standardized format they use in writing their questions. They have a very standardized format they use in writing their correct answers and distractors. They have a very standardized format they use in writing questions where they know many people may not be able to answer them correctly. The thing is, these are patterns I've been able to spot and make very clear from just all my years of teaching people, preparing people for these exams, and also taking the exams myself, and also like doing and reviewing all the MBME practice material that is out there, right? So the thing is, the course I use to address how to take MBME tests is a 2.5-hour course that will make you very proficient in navigating Step 2 CK, navigating Step 3. And we also review how to answer ethics questions, right? And one thing I also review is, I talk about how to answer questions where you have very limited knowledge or no knowledge of the information being presented. Because whether you like it or not, you will see those kinds of questions on your exam. So I have one coming up this Wednesday, the 25th of August, from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's like from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, the second course I offer is a content review course, right? So the thing is, I'm not a believer in stock lectures. If you've listened to any of my podcasts, you know that I'm not a believer in stock lectures. The thing is, ultimately, Step 2 CKE, Step 3, the exams that focus on a series of scenarios. You're basically taking 320 scenarios as you approach your exam. So there are certain scenarios that are more high yield than others. The NBME, again, in their own very special way, they are very good at disease scripts. They are very, very good at disease scripts. They have patterns they love using for testing certain bits of material. And then there are certain unusual bits of material that you may not see them emphasized in QBanks or in the major study resources, but the NBME loves to emphasize them on the exams, right? And, you know, like, for example, you may see some QBanks, they really harp on some big things related to pediatric cardiology. But the thing is, there are certain special focuses the NBME has for pediatric cardiology. Or you may see in QBanks where they may say to do a certain thing for a pathology, but the NBME doesn't agree with that, right? So, like, for example, you may see where a QBank may say, if you suspect like a C-spine trauma, or you suspect the person has atlantoaxial instability, you can do like a CT scan of the neck, right? But the NBMEs do not agree with that. The NBMEs want you to do a cervical X-ray of your neck, right? In flexion and extension. That's a classic example of something where a QBank may say one thing, but the NBMEs go with another thing. All these scenarios, at least the vast majority of these scenarios, I discuss them during the course. So the thing is, if you attend the course, you're essentially going to be getting, I bring all these classic NBME patterns from pediatrics, from surgery, from internal medicine, from OB-GYN, from psych, from neuro, from biostats, from ethics, from communications, from professionalism, from multi-system processes and disorders, right? And I've essentially turned them into about 2,000 scenarios, vignettes, and audience response questions, right? So we basically review these things over a three-day period. And I have these courses from time to time. The next one coming up, I know a lot of people are going to be taking Step 2 CK soon, is between the 26th and the 28th of August. And it holds from 8 to noon Pacific Standard Time and from 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right? That's pretty much the same thing as 11 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I spend time discussing these scenarios. And the thing is, from attending this course, you get three benefits. The first one is you're going to be learning the exam from an exam-like perspective. I'm not just giving you lectures. Oh, lecture on murmurs, lecture on this. No, that's not what I'm doing, right? It's an exam-like perspective. Pretty much everything we use are vignettes, right? So it's not going to be a stock lecture. Secondly, you're at the same time going to be learning the content very well through these vignettes. It's almost like a case-based review, right? So for those of you that have studied the De Virgilio book for general surgery, for like the general surgery shelf exam, that's pretty much how I pass all my course, right? So at the same time, you're going to be learning the content really well. If you've listened to any of my podcasts, you know that I make very painstaking efforts to thoroughly discuss mechanisms behind things. And then finally, I also spend time at the end of every hour taking people's questions. We've always had enough time to just take everyone's questions, right? The thing is, most people by the end of the course, they easily have like 100 to 130 pages of notes by the end. And, you know, for every day of the course, I distribute a course packet that we use to guide our discussions, has all the scenarios we discuss, and then I provide space as I review the material through Zoom and as I annotate my screen, you're taking notes as I go along, right? So most people that have attended this course, they pretty much use this as their review for the exam, right? They use it as their content review for the entire dedicated period, right? And, you know, most times out of those 4 hours, I say that, oh, you should be spending 4 hours on content review. They spend like 3 hours reviewing this material on a rolling basis. And then they spend an hour just working on specific weaknesses. So that's pretty much all I want to say in this podcast. Again, I know many, as I conclude, I know many people listen to my Love the Life lessons. I've gotten tons of emails from people that, oh, wow, Divine, I love the life lessons you put at the end of your podcasts, at least some of them. So I started a new website. It's called divineinterventionlifelessons.com. If you go on that website, I do have podcasts. I believe I've made about 14. I'm going to be making about 2 every week, roughly. And they are all less than 10 minutes long. And, you know, they kind of talk about Bible-based teaching that can just give you insight into like a common problem faced by humanity, both by medical professionals and non-medical professionals, and gives you strategies for success. I also do offer one-on-one tutoring for many exams, step 1, step 2 CK, step 3, preclinical med school exams, third year clerkship shelf exams. And then I have these podcasts on the podcast apps, on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify. And I also have at least the most recent 150. It's a WordPress role, so I can't put more than the most recent 150 on them. But if you want everything from episode one, just go back on the website, divineinterventionpodcast.com, and you'd be able to get everything from episode one. And if you also subscribe to the website, whenever I make a new podcast, you get an email notification. And then I also have a YouTube channel. It's called Divine Intervention USMLE Podcasts and Videos. And basically, that's where I put all my videos. The slides, though, for those videos, again, you'll find them under the respective episode numbers on the website. And then finally, I offer advising for ERAS applications with personal statements, recommendation letters, reviewing your ERAS application. I do most of these things at flat rates. So if you're interested in those, just shoot me an email. If you have red flags on your application, again, I've worked with lots of people that have had very tricky applications with red flags. They've graduated like many years ago, or they failed the USMLE exam, and many of these people are now residents. So if you're interested in any of those things, just shoot me an email through the website and I'll give you some more information. Now, if you're also interested in the courses I offer, the Test Taking Strategies course taking place this Wednesday for 2.5 hours, and the content review course for Step 2 CK Step 3 taking place from Thursday to Saturday, go ahead and shoot me an email through the website and I'll give you some more information on cost and things like that. So thank you for listening to me today. I'll see you next time. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you. And I wish you all success as you go through your dedicated period.